Okay, hello. While someone tries to find that and so on, I volunteer to improvise a talk about libraries. Which could very well be also talk about the new maintainer process. And it's basically very simple. We'll go through the new maintainer questions about libraries, and we see who of you is able to reply. If we find a question to which people cannot reply, and I would like you not to use Google, then I will propose that we make a new maintainer process mandatory every 2 years for every new developer. So, what are library sonames and what are they used for? Volunteers? Phil?
They're for avoiding DLL hell.
Excellent. But I would like to have a few more details, because library package names are also to avoid DLL hell.
Well, you've got to realize that library package names... You want to have multiple versions of the same library on the machine. So the first thing to realize is that the SO name has got nothing to do with the version of the library and should not be tried to be synchronized. And instead you use the SO names so that when you make API changes, you change the SO numbers in order to reflect that something changed that you have to care about.
Excellent. Now someone who is not Phil can tell what is a SO name. It's not the library version, that much Phil has said. There's one hand over there.
Ideally, it should be the ABI version, I think.
It's kind of like the ABI version, and it's written inside the library, and it's used by the linker to detect whether the library you are linking to is the library you want. It's like a number that needs to match what's in the executable and what's in the library. What is the ELF format? Ben is not allowed to answer because he knows everything.
It's the binary format that we use for our executables.
Only?
And libraries.
Only?
It's a binary format.
Excellent. How does the utility... Forgot something. There's more than that. Why does a libfoo dev package depend on libfoo? Over here.
For the .so symlink?
Exactly. Because in order to do dynamic linking, you need to have the dynamic library. But in order not to have to package the dynamic library also in the dev has a symlink and depends on the dynamic package. Clear, right? And so the dev needs to depend on the library. Why is it sometimes libfoo x-dev and not foo-dev in some cases?
Shall I continue?
Oh, someone else. Let's involve the crowd. We have about like 3-4 people who deserve to be a developer so far. I want to know we have more.
When you want to support multiple API in parallel, for example, GTK1 and GTK2 or...
Excellent. Exactly. So we have... What? There's a different answer!
It's when people read the old library packaging guide. And we were hoping that data would tell us the new version. We'll see.
All right.
There's even another reason. you can want no, you maybe want to have a something different foo-x-dev name for making clear that the other package has a different source RP. So you want to avoid that. A package which builds with one source RP accidentally gets built by the wrong source RP.
I think you're right. That's what if I don't understand the answer, I assume the applicant is right, and I go on to the next answer. Or when you are an experienced AM, if you don't understand the answer, you go and look at the answer of a previous NM. That you thought it was right, and you compare, if they both are saying the same, they're obviously right. Okay, so how does the utility fake root work, and how is that tied to LD preload and the runtime linker?
It plugs itself between the library and the between the application and the C library, and diverts the calls to file system operations to pretend that the application is actually root by just telling, well, this file you just created is owned by root and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. What is the program that diverts the function?
LD.so.
Exactly. Great. Excellent. What does what kind of program is actually fake root?
It's
basically a two-line shell script. One that exports LD preload to the fake root library, and one that runs the program, and probably another 5,000 because you need to have for some reason. I think it needs to start a daemon as well to keep track of all the files you renamed and so on. Excellent. Why does this library have that name? It's a libgrib-api-0d-0. I'm the maintainer. Zach?
Okay, I'm probably going to lose my DD status with this answer, but I guess I think it is a change in the ABI of the C or C++ compiler. So basically nothing changed in the ABI of that library, but something changed in the compiler, so you need to rebuild it with a new compiler.
No.
Well, that was 0C2 whatever. D, maybe it's something else.
Okay. No, that's not the case. René?
D often is some use when you have ABI change upstream, but there is no zoname bump upstream, and you need to invent some zoname for Debian or change the package name in a way that's unique to compensate that if you can't fix it upstream directly, or it's impossible because the number is already taken or whatever.
Exactly. The answer is, I have no idea why, but I've asked on the Vel, and it went on for a couple of weeks, and the consensus eventually was to call it that way. But, no, in fact, what is happening is that upstream does not provide a shared library, so it's like dev only. But many people would like to have a shared library for that one, so I need to invent a so name. But I need to invent a so name that upstream is never going to use. And so we append D for Debian to the so name. Paul and...
How many upstreams have ever used this just to confuse us?
Well, I'm not allowed to comment. There's a few. There's Michael and there's Paul.
Yeah, well, what's the dash zero at the end? Maybe I'm...
Oh, that's the... René?
The what?
There's no way I can remember it. I need to go and... I lose my DD status.
Oh.
I got a
different question.
I know where to find that list discussion next time. Okay. There's a new release of the library.
Sorry?
The way the library is named in the package is the library name is actually libgrip api0d, and the SO name is libgrip api0d.so.0.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think I maybe understand. Michael? I know where to find that.
Which
that
leads us
discussion.
To my next question, which was how do you make that happen with libtool? Because libtool only accepts integers, as far as I know, so probably that's why you put the 0d into the name before the SO, and then tell libtool to use 000 as SO digits.
You have a namey thingy.
Version info or release or whatever it's called, yeah. Okay.
You can put a namey thingy.
Yeah, that is a way to directly specify the name, if I'm not mistaken. But it's too long ago that I looked at it.
Yeah.
Okay. What time is it? Let's see if there's other...
Enrico,
si?
Why you didn't use 0.0?
Because you needed to put the D. If I didn't put the D, that's what I remember. There's still that list in this discussion in Debian Devel that I have it archived for when I need to maintain it. I reread it every time.
Yeah, but I don't think upstream will use 0.0 for
no,
the symbols.
Because if you don't put the D, it's like zero. The D is an extra. It's an extra tag you add, like a vendor-specific tag that you add. If you don't add anything, it's zero. And then upstream will start the new library at zero when they have a library. No? I remember something like that.
As
what? ALB? Oh, one. Okay. Yeah, I know. I was looking for the before going to the bonus questions. I was looking for more in the previous part.
So, applicants just need to watch this video.
Are they get more confused than before?
Well, if advocates do a good job, applicants will won't need to waste the time to watch the entire video, and they can find the answer much faster than that. All right. No question about libraries. Okay. Then we go to the bonus section. What is... Okay. What is a symbol version library? And why are they all libdb something as well as libcc as libc6 compiled using symbol versioning? And what problem does it solve?
A version library is a similar version library.
No, you've already answered.
Excuse me?
You've already answered before.
No, I didn't.
And your microphone is fuzzy.
Yeah, no, it's crap.
No, I'm kidding. Okay, you can answer, of course.
Yeah, so the idea of a symbol versioned library is that every symbol has its own version. And the problem you solve for this is that if you need to have both more than one ABI of the same version of the same library at the same time in the same address space, that's possible, because if you would not have versions per symbol, the linker is going to not be able to resolve the right references. So that means if you have like a library which is used very often, and there is an ABI change, and like one plugin uses the old library ABI and the application uses the new one, you need to have version symbols. So the linker knows that the symbols referenced by the plugin must be linked to the old library, and the other one, the ones from the application, for example, have to be linked to the new library.
Yeah, very good. Can someone else explain it again? No, okay. A simple example is you have Python, whatever, that uses libdb 4.6. But then you also use libdb in your application, and you use like 4.7, and you don't know that Python uses it. So in theory, when you link everything together, because you link Python for some reason, then the linker doesn't know if you should use the symbol for 4.6 or 4.7. So basically, in the symbol names, instead of just putting like db underscore open, it puts like db underscore open 4.6. So the 2db open from the two differently versioned libraries are two different symbols, and they can coexist together.
So there are actually two reasons to use symbol versioning. One is to have the different db versions being able to, that one application can link to both versions at the same time and still have find the right symbols.
Yeah.
The other reason is why libc uses this is to have a different AP without having to change the SO name. So you have different symbols and you know which version you linked, and the library will, if you link to it, you will know which version you link, and you can get that version of the symbol at runtime.
Okay. Talking about libc, okay, we also have this question. What is essential? Yes, simple one, warm up question. In the Debian control, you can put essential. Yes. One answer here. No. Back. Raise your hand.
It's just a flag. It means once you have installed an essential package, you can't remove unless you use some force options from dbkg.
Exactly. If you put essential yes in your package and later you try to remove it, apt-get will ask you to type in full a very long phrase like yes, I am sure I know what I'm doing. I'm gonna break my system. Shut up and let me do it! Exclamation mark or something like that. We have two raised hands over there behind you.
One of the reasons it can't be essential is if you need to bump the SO name of libc or libc6 or whatever, you need to be able to remove the old version of the package, which has the old soname embedded in the version, and install the new one.
Exactly. If libc had been essential historically, we would still have libc5 installed in our system. Or libc4, depending how long ago you've installed libc for the first time. So the Debian policy says that no shared library can be essential, ever. Ben, do you have something to add?
I was going to say that essential is even stronger than saying cannot be removed. It means it must be installed first thing, which is why if you have unstable in your sources, then dash will be installed, even if you prefer stable.
Okay, so dash is now essential.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm told.
All right, that's very interesting.
Which cool. is absolutely correct, because the packaging system has no way of knowing which things depend on dash, because they do not need to
depend on
specify
it.
The dependency.
Exactly. Why isn't the kernel essential?
Shall I pass this to someone else?
Yeah,
please.
And strangely enough, that it confuses some people. This one, it looks easy, but...
Again, it's sometimes useful to get rid of old kernels, but even more, there's no requirement to have a kernel installed in your Debian system at all. You might, for example, be netbooting.
Yeah, or a chroot. Exactly. Very well. And I think we can go to... What is the... Oh no, let's highlight it. Hey. What is the dash B symbolic ld flag? Exactly what does it do? And how does that differ from library symbol versioning? Which problem does it solve? Why is libc6 not compiled with dash B symbolic? So what is the dash B symbolic LD flag? Aha. There's a raised hand over there, but someone who's already spoken before. Another raised hand, oh, maybe. No. There was scratching a year. Okay, well.
The B symbolic LD flag will tell the, if you link something with that, it will mark the library, and when it's being run, it will do, when it's looking up a symbol name, it will always look up symbols in that, in its own library first and not in other libraries.
Exactly. All symbols are resolved locally first.
Yes.
Which is kind of like linking statically inside the library in a way, and it's in theory even more performing, and it avoids you to have symbols in your own library overridden by accident by libraries that have the same symbol, which in theory it's a very good idea, but in practice when you Google for dash B symbolic, the first thing is like, no way, avoid it, that's a wrong approach, and so on. Why could is libc6 not compiled with dash B symbolic? Okay, we have an Andrew Macmillan. Yeah. That
fake root wouldn't work, amongst many, many other things.
Yes. Since it's resolved locally first, you can't use fake root, which basically overrides symbols. That's his job, is exactly to override symbols. And it's resolved locally, so you can't override it. And that's why that's compiled with dash B symbolic. Any more library questions we could have, or library-related questions? Yeah?
I have found this interesting in my library packaging experience. How does a C++ library play with sonames and stable ABIs and symbol name mangling by the C++ compiler?
I think C++ and stable ABI is a very beautiful utopia. I think Ben is the expert on this, obviously, but recently, I think GCC has standardized name mangling so that stable. But the problem with having a C ABI is that a C++ ABI is that you could have code in the templates. sorry, yeah, in templates, which are headers, and gets like, and so that depends on what library you had when you compile it. So you have ABI tied to API, and it gets hairy. I don't know if Ben has something to add, but he's busy at the moment, so maybe we don't disturb him. Ben, do you have anything to add about C++ ABI being stable?
My understanding is that it's pretty much stabilized now. There were, I believe, a number of bugs in G++ that have caused the ABI to change. There is still the libstdc++, which does change API from time to time, and that means anything using that a standard library changes accordingly.
Okay, I think we sort of passed. We have another 10 minutes. If you want, I can ask you other questions not related to libraries. Or
can I ask something about the topic of the Datos presentation? How do you find every reverse dependency? Because when I run the rdepends using AP something, APT-something to find the R dependencies, it gives me just a few reverse dependencies. There is also a script in Merkle, I think, or in FTP master that we use to find more R reverse dependencies. That gives me a little bit more. But then, when the actual package is uploaded, there are more reverse dependencies that I couldn't find before.
I think
so. The question is, how can I find every reverse dependency for my libraries?
This is, I don't know how to answer, but I think we have at least a couple of people in the room who are able to. Thag, for example. Yeah, he's asked how, because he would like to get reverse build dependencies, but there are several commands that give some of them, but no commands that actually gives them all. And he wonders how to get that.
I don't have a command out of the box, but also defining what does it mean to be a reverse build dependency is not easy, because you have alternative build dependencies. So what does it mean to be a reverse dependency?
That's a question for you.
Yes, the example is the bcrypt lib. Bcrypt lib, when I try to find the reverse dependencies, I only find rpm server-util. And then
what library?
Bcrypt.
Like this?
No, bee crypt. Yep.
Okay. Yes, we have the build dependencies here.
Yeah, those are the build dependencies. But the reverse dependencies for this library are RPM and server-util.
Things that require bcrypt in order to build.
Yes.
So if you break this package, what other packages wouldn't build anymore?
Right.
Is that your question?
Yes.
Does that define the problem space better?
Sorry? No, not really, but okay, let's assume there are no alternative build dependencies. I don't think we have a tool out of the box in the archive which tells you that. Except maybe DebGraph, the thing on which I think France have worked.
Ah, yeah, France made a script about
but
that.
But I don't think there is a package. Actually, people have asked for the package, but you refuse to make created for some reason which I don't remember.
On the build dependencies in the source file?
There's a hand over there.
Yes. You can grab the this.
The hand raised over there.
In the DevScript package, there is a reverse build depends script, which should give you this information.
Actually, Nomeata is
in the,
is
in the DevScript package?
Yeah.
After RDEP? Okay. Strange, I thought I did, but
anyway, a lot of these questions can be answered very quickly with grep dcontrol. So you just take your sources file, type it to debgrcontrol, and in this case you just match on build depends with a dash f flag and the name of the library you want, and you get the packages. And they can do even more complex queries if you want. So as a general toolkit, it gets most of the use cases.
OK, talking about DevScript, I have a question for you, which is run this command in your machine, or pick 10 random utilities from DevScript, and for each one, tell me why someone would like to use it. So, there we go. First round. Who has not used DebDiff? One person. Who has never sponsored a package? No. No. Well, if he has not used it, then he doesn't know what it is for. What's the main use of DebDiff? I like the security team to talk about that.
Create an interdiff between two source packages so that you can actually see whether we've messed something up in a security upload.
Exactly. It takes two Debian source packages and it tells you the difference between them.
It can also show the difference in the control files of binary packages. And
okay.
And you even can give the changes file to DebDiff and then it will show the combined difference of all binary packages.
Oh. There's a few hands. One hand over there behind.
So I use DebDiff regularly, but I find it that it's not able to show me the actual differences between two binary packages, not their control files. So I wrote myself a wrapper that unpacks the binaries and does a diff. This is something that unfortunately that misses from DebDiff, I think.
Oh, all right. So it only unpacks the control.rgz and not the rest.
Yes, binary packages.
Okay. WNPP alert. No one? One, two, three, four. This is extremely important. Like, this, it's like, well, you have to know it.
It tells you when one of your installed packages might be orphaned or looking for help.
Exactly. It looks in your system and it tells you, you have this package installed, which is orphaned, or the maintainer needs help. Go and help. And if someone tells you, I'd like to package something but I don't know what, tell them to run WNPP alert on their machine. I'll demo it. Which may take a while. Right. So in my machine, what? Exactly. In my machine, I have OpenOffice installed, which definitely needs help. So if any of you would like to help development of OpenOffice, well, it puts me in the spotlight because it's my machine. Or OpenSSL also requests for help. I have a package installed which is orphaned, which either I adopted or actually I should remember to get rid of it because I don't use it, and so on. And so if some Xlabby is orphaned, it cannot be. Xlabby is essential. So later I'll probably see about adopting it. And that's how you get people into Debian. Just tell them to run WNPP alert and you do a bit of nice terrorism and say, you see that package is not maintained. Do it. And yeah. Debuild. Easy one.
Debuild runs dpkg build package for you with the options that you probably want, and also runs Lintian on the changes file afterwards so that you don't have to think about that and you automatically see, oh, well, there's these possible policy bugs in your package that you probably want to fix before you upload it.
Yeah. Build, Lintian, whatever, it can be thrown into the build system, it will do it. ArchPath. It shouldn't be there. I have no idea what it does whatsoever. Oh my god! okay. ArchPath doesn't exist. Manpage alert. Easy. After WNPP alert, manpage alert.
Which binary might need some NM to write a nice man page?
Yeah, even a DD.
Sure.
You don't need to have, you know, to wait for people to join NM or to kick them back to NM to have man pages. How do you write a man page in 5 seconds? Help to man, exactly. The existence of help to man does not justify executables without man page, except if they don't have command line help, but then they should not exist in the first place, because they are an abomination against common sense. Cowpoke shouldn't be there either, although Joachim has something to say about it, with two microphones.
It's a script that takes the source packages, copies another host, runs CowBuilder on it, if it's successful, signs the changes and uploads it to some whatever you want. And of course, you can skip some of the steps if you don't want.
Okay, so remote build of a package.
Yes.
Get build log sounds like self-descriptive. Debpkg, Kiwi, a microphone for Kiwi.
That's a wrapper around Debpkg, which does nice things like becoming administrator, I believe, through sudo when it's needed.
Okay. So to test installing a package, it will already do sudo, so you don't need to become root, and it's quite convenient. Well, we're about time to close the event, so we better start to get ready for the lightning talks. I don't know what's happened to Dato. I hope nothing. He cancelled. Okay. I'm sorry. He knew much more about the topic than I did, and I just improvised. Okay. That also gave. I hope it gave an idea of how being an application manager is an excellent way to ensure that you keep being up to date for what with what happens in Debian. You know, the excellent way to remember something is to ask it to other people and then make sure that they give you the correct answer. Although some, apparently there's going to be a problem with the NM process, which is that very skillful people will be asked very few questions. And so that's going to give you more trouble because you are going to ask questions to less skilled people. Which, however, you are supposed to just reject in the first place and then insult the advocate. So eventually, we risk that it just won't be the right place to go and ask people for things you don't know. But hopefully it can keep having that very useful function long enough to allow you, applying as application managers today, to enrich your knowledge of the process. But more will come during a lightning talk later. So thank you very much, and we'll wait for the lightning talk organizer to show up.